You're listening to the AHDB podcast, farming news and stories from across the UK.
Hello, and thank you for listening to this AHDB podcast. In this podcast, we're talking about leadership, and we will hear from a farmer about his experiences and the benefits of investing in himself and others. In what has been described as a game-changing collaboration, opportunities have been developed supporting rural and agricultural leadership and management at all levels to help people be the best they can be. That's a good thing. But why should you be interested? Or for that matter, stay listening to this. I'll tell you why. Policy changes, competitiveness of markets, and changing global supply chains makes this leadership stuff a fascinating subject with real gains to be had, wherever you are in your career. So please do stay with us. I'm John Bates, and before we hear a really interesting farmer story, let me set the scene. A report has been published by Promar for the AHDB and highlights the undeniable challenges ahead for farmers and growers. The report shows a clear need to bridge the gap from where managers are now and where their skills and capabilities need to be in the future. You know the world is changing fast, and today that means, like never before, a manager has to be across all kinds of things, from on-farm technology, changes in society, population growth, and changes in markets and demands for certain foods, the environment and the ecological footprint of food production, future farming support payments, developing consumer attitudes around food production methods, and a rising interest in animal welfare issues. And all of that, and make a profit too. So managers and leaders need to be fit for the future to lead themselves, others, and the business. Let's hear and learn from an organic dairy farmer and AHDB strategic farmer, Dan Burdett.
So I'm here today talking to Dan Burdett, Cockhayes Farm, which is a dairy business. Dan, can you tell us a bit more about your business?
Yeah, so we're an organic dairy farm down here in the middle of Sussex. We're autumn calving. We calve about 240 cows, most of those in about 6 weeks. We sell our milk. Our milk goes to McDonald's and sold through Arla, so we're co-op members for Arla.
Excellent. And what's your role in the business?
It's a family farm. I have a contracting business, so I run the dairy farm under a contract. So my dad is the landowner, I'm the contractor, so I employ all the staff here. I own the machinery, the day-to-day decisions on the dairy. And we take a divisible surplus at the end of each year.
Okay. How long have you been contracting here?
So that business was started in 2013.
And what other people are involved in kind of running the farm and making decisions here?
So my dad, so he's still director of the land-owning business, Birch Peace Farms. He makes the decisions on the kind of the land, the estate, I guess, any new buildings that we put up, houses that we build. And it's me, I'm also director, and we also have my dad's sister, who's another shareholder, although more of a silent partner.
Excellent. So, as you know, we're looking at leadership and management development, and I know that you've done some interesting things, and we'll come on to that in a few minutes. But just to set the scene, clearly there are a lot of challenges facing farming going forward. I'd just like to get your perspective on that. What would you see for you? What are the key things that you think as a business you really need to be mindful of and need to address in perhaps the next 10 years?
Well, I think the number one thing for us is the climate. We're down in the southeast of England, so it's always traditionally be quite dry in the summer, but we're obviously, as most farmers would be in the UK and across the world, we're being affected in some way, shape or form. So our traditional growing season is changing. The amount that we can grow is changing each year, so it's much more difficult to budget on the number of cows we have, on the impact that they're going to have, whether it's too wet or too dry, which there's very little middle ground now. So the challenge for us is making a business which is sustainable in that we can produce enough food for our cows. So that would be the number one challenge for us here. And sort of including that as an organic dairy farm, the price of the food that we're buying in is becoming ever more expensive. And although we have a very strong milk price, it's not going up in at the same rate as the feed price. So as a predominantly winter production model, we rely on some of that bought-in feed. So we have to, again, in the next 10 years work out where is the sweet spot with the number of cows that we milk, the land area that we have, the amount of food that we're buying in for those cows, in order to make sure that we are able to not only sustain what we're doing, but to try and regenerate our soils so they become more resilient to wet, dry weather, so we're able to hold on to more moisture and able to create more biodiversity on the farm, which I hope will in turn help us to keep more resilience in the system, i.e. we're able to grow more grass during stress periods.
And the other thing is that you are, I suppose, not uniquely placed, but you are certainly placed in an area of the country where there are a high density of population, and also relative to other parts of the country, probably fairly wealthy consumers as well. And obviously they have an opinion on agriculture, but they also represent a market. And I wonder whether you see that as a challenge, a threat, an opportunity.
Well, yeah, I think it's both, isn't it? It's certainly a threat to us. We have ever more regulations coming out. Supermarkets want more and more from us. And I can understand that as a consumer myself, I'm demanding those sort of things from the produce that I'm buying. There is certainly an opportunity for us to possibly diversify the farm to what's called stacking enterprises here. So can we have more than just cows here? We've specialised over the last 10 years in dairy. We've moved away from beef and arable. But perhaps the time now for me in the next 10 years is where we perhaps look at getting closer to the consumer. So perhaps producing a product that a consumer can buy directly from us, whether that's a dairy product or it's another meat-based product, chicken, eggs, honey, fruit and veg, that sort of thing. We're very close to the urban population where we are here. So I think it's a big opportunity for us. But moving from a commodity-based model to something else is a challenge, certainly.
Yeah, and I think that's really what we're here to talk about, is how do farmers address those challenges? How do they evolve their leadership and management skills to address those challenges? We could be talking about markets, we can be talking about investment, and we can also be talking just about practical techniques. You've talked a lot about, you know, how do I make my farm more resilient and more able to cope with climate change? And those are certainly really big drivers that we see shaping agriculture going forward. So I want to dive a little bit more deeply now into leadership, and that is such an enormous topic. So I think what we'll do is we'll kind of narrow it down a little bit. We collected a lot of evidence that really demonstrates that there are some key elements of leadership that good leaders demonstrate. And in one of the pillars that relates to leading self, we talk a lot about having a growth mindset. So that's, if you like, a willingness and an openness to change, but also that ability, if you like, to be resilient and cope with setbacks, because there's no question about it. If you're farming, you are going to have setbacks almost on a daily basis. So perhaps you could share a little bit about how you've grown as an individual and how you've developed yourself as an individual in the period of time that you've been farming.
Yeah, sure. Well, I came back to the farm here aged 30 in 2008. So I never wanted to become a farmer. So I focused my energies on doing a business degree, working in London in sales and marketing. So when I made the decision in 2007, 2008 to come back, I came from a base with no agricultural knowledge. So essentially, I came back here to serve an apprenticeship. I guess I had that mindset where I have to learn, because otherwise I won't be very good at the job. One of the best things that my dad ever did for me in those early days was he took me along to a discussion group. So a local dairy discussion group. And although I didn't know very much, people were more than happy to take their time and explain things to me, even the basics, such as things like what is dry matter of grass. I didn't even know what that meant. So from that day forward, I had a group of people who were willing to help me develop. A lot of those guys are still very good friends of mine. Some of them have really encouraged me down the path. We've taken another farm. You know, I've taken encouragement from that to some of the courses that I've done. So the Worshipful Company Advanced Business Management course, my Nuffield Scholarship, have all really come off the back of that initial seed that was sown back in 2008.
It's interesting, because one of the things that we look at in terms of how we all evolve and develop as kind of managers and leaders, and I can reflect a little bit on that in my experience as well, is that it's really important that you understand the fundamentals. It's great going on a management course and meeting with really interesting people, and that definitely helps us to evolve. But you do also need to understand those very fundamental basics of running a farm, managing a herd of cows, growing a crop, whatever. How would you balance that learning?
I would agree, and there's definitely when you go on a course like the, certainly the advanced management course, you know, you're away for 3 weeks and you come in a bubble. Nuffield, when you're going visiting other farms, you feel like you're learning all the time, you're hearing a lot of positive stuff. But obviously when you get back to the farm, to your business, very quickly the day-to-day consume you again. And so I guess the thing that I've learned from that is to keep talking to those people. So it's not just I went and did that course and then it stopped and then I moved on. Like, those people are still good friends of mine. We meet up regularly. We have WhatsApp groups. You know I could pick up the phone to any of those guys if I had an issue. I can ask their advice. They might be able to physically help me or mentally help me or point me to someone who can help me. So I think that continued learning and that kind of networking alongside it is probably one of the strongest parts of it. Yes, I guess it's a bit like going to school, isn't it? You learn lots of stuff at school, but you quickly forget a lot of it as you move on and you don't need it. So that ongoing support has been invaluable for me.
Yeah, there's also a degree of diversity as well, isn't there, that comes to the fore in terms of learning things. From what I can see, you've moved around in different spheres and different lots of new opportunities, and the learning of management and development of skills accumulates over time, not just from what you do out on the farm, but also from these other experiences and from this network.
Yeah, doing the Nuffield has taught me that if I ring someone, a farmer up, 9 times out of 10, they'll be happy to talk to me about things. Most farmers I speak to are really open and honest about their successes and their failures. And I would like to do the same. You know, I think part of being a strategic dairy farmer is that I want people to come here and I'd be really open and honest and tell them that this didn't work, but that did work.
We talked a few minutes ago about future challenges coming from the external environment. So how is your leadership and management development helping you? And what things do you think you will need to do going forward in order to address those challenges from a leadership and management perspective?
I do already, I think, have a lot of faith in the guys who work for me, but I'm going to have to make sure that I can just let them get on with their jobs, because the things that I see that we need to do here are going to take a lot of my time up in doing that. So I think that's the sort of big one for me. And I'm going to have an even greater risk of failure. I'm going to need to be able to challenge myself, because if we go into a new sphere, whether that's a new animal or a new sales pitch or a new customer, then I'm going to have to be brave and I'm going to have to draw on perhaps other people around me, but also just I'm going to have to give it a go and see how it goes. I think all we've done so far has been within a very comfortable dairy situation. So whatever changes I've made feels like they're tinkering around the edges. So we're improving performance in the herd or better fertility or more grass growth, but it's all within a safe comfort zone. Things that we're talking about now and going into the future perhaps are going to take me to places where I really don't have much of a background, although I have a marketing background. That's a long time ago in a completely different world. So, yeah, being braver will be the biggest one for me.
Yeah, we can be not have any stress. We can sit back and be very comfortable. But you then become a little bit like the frog that's boiling away in the saucepan. You know, it's warming up around you and you're not noticing it. So I think there has to be a degree of discomfort, really. Mm. There has to be a degree of challenge, but not to the extent that it overwhelms you. Yeah. One of the things that we found, really, in one of the studies that we did was that if you look at resilience, that is quite a good indicator of success. So resilience being, if you like, that ability to keep challenging yourselves and to recover from setbacks. And one of the things about resilience, interesting, and I think you've already mentioned this, is that resilient leaders appear to be much better at delegating and letting others get on with the work. So in other words, they don't micromanage. Mm. It's great that you've kind of recognised that. Can you think about some setbacks that you have had and how that's influenced your thinking today?
Yeah, a couple of big ones, I suppose. 3 years ago, so Luke, my herdsman at the time, who now manages the other farm, had a really nasty motorcycle accident about a week before we were due to start serving the cows, so like a really crucial period. And it suddenly threw me completely, because I had to be working 7 days a week. I had to cover him, I had to manage all the staff and do everything else that I was trying to do. Pressure just built and built and built. And there were times when it would only take one small thing to break me. You know, like I gave the cows a mild case of acidosis because I fed them a lot of whole crop one day. And this was in the second week of the first round of serving. And I just thought, I've ruined it all. I've broken it all. And I think my dad kind of summed it up and said, look, you've had a good run and you're going to need to accept there's going to be some bad days. And I think up to that point, I probably hadn't been challenged. You know, the weather had always gone our way. I had a great team around me. And suddenly there were splinters there. So I had to take a step back and grit my teeth to get through it. But also, although there were hard words for my dad at the time, actually looking back on it, it was probably the best thing that he could have said to me, because since then I have to accept there have been huge challenges since that day. And we went down with TB on both farms last year, and we've never had a TB reactor on either farm before, and for them to both happen within a week of each other. But as soon as we had the reactor, there was an initial kind of, and then I thought, right, what are we going to do about it? The thing that I need to do now is have a plan and how we deal with it. And, you know, we didn't bring any young stock back from the rearers, and so we didn't overstock ourselves and things like that. So I was hopefully able to look at the things that I'm in control of, because a lot of these things, like the accident and the TB, they're nothing to do with me. I couldn't control them. All I can do is control how I deal with them. A bit like the weather now, it is frustrating. You do look at the weather forecast all the time. You do go through the scenarios, but I can't change the weather. So, right, how many cows do we need to cull? And trying to make some cold decisions and have a plan rather than trying to get too emotional about it has been important.
And do you look for other people to help you with that? How do other people support you? Because I would imagine that must be an important element of resilience. If you're on your own, it's tough. But if you've got other people to help you, so how have you lent on other people?
Yeah, I think obviously, yeah, my dad through a lot of that with his kind of experience. And it's not the practical help. I think it's more just someone to talk to, someone with experience. One or two other dairy farmers around here who I'd always talk to about these things. I know that most of them would have gone through something similar at some point. Yeah, I can sit in the office for days on end and not get anything done. And, you know, I think with the thing with the weather now is the same. Always keep be talking to people about it. It's important.
So one of the things that I mentioned a minute or two ago was about maintaining work-life balance and not working excessively long hours. But you just recounted a period of time where you had to work excessively long hours. It is something farmers do, and I guess they have to do it, and sometimes it's seen as the only way to make money, but it can have quite a heavy mental toll. So I just wonder how you get that balance between just working all the time and creating a sense of kind of balance away from work.
Well, it's an interesting question, because I'll be very honest and say that it's my number one struggle. A lot of that is down to me letting go of things. The prime example here is that I rear all the calves, all the heifer calves, all the way through from day one. And then I rear them through the winter, and I just can't let go of them. And so I'm creating work for myself. And I think part of my final part of letting go with the staff is going, okay, well, actually, I'm not going to be there all the time to do this. I may have done this for the last 5 or 6 years, but I actually need to stop doing that. Getting out on my bike more, taking, you know, the weekends off. Lockdown's been difficult, though. I think had we not had lockdown, I probably would be a year further ahead, but because we haven't been able to leave the farm, there's been no window of opportunity. So all the time I'm here, and our house is right in the centre of the farm, I can see everything that's going on. It's very hard to switch off that. So, you know, going forward, you know, we've bought a tent, we'll go away for, even if it's just short weekend breaks, you know, getting on my bike in the weekday, rather than just, I used to do it like at 5 o'clock in the morning, so then I could do it and then have a full day at work. Now I'm thinking, right, well, I'm going to go in the middle of the day, because why not? You know, why should I be getting up at the crack of dawn to go for a bike ride and then work all day? So I'm learning that I need to take more control of it. I am actually the boss. I write my holidays on the board and say that I'm off then before anyone else can get it. So I make sure that I at least get my holidays in there before everyone else jumps in. So I'm learning small ways to manage that, but obviously things like the weather have impacted my ability to take time off through the last winter, and starting a new farm and all the challenges that, you know, it does bring more work. There's no two ways about it. But I guess I always have the vision that we get things set up and then I take a step back all the time. So I'm definitely not micromanaging the team. It's more the uncontrollables, which are still controlling me a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think anybody can pretend that it's easy, but from what you've just said there, it does sound to me like you're aware of it. And I think that's 90% of the challenge, is just actually realizing that just working all the time can be really quite damaging to our health.
Yeah.
And I think it affects people around us as well. And you're right as well, in that as the business grows and develops and does different things, you will not be able to do the same things that you've always done. You have to learn to let things go. Yeah. And it sounds like you've been doing that. I know we've talked a lot about leading self, and time doesn't permit us to talk about the leading others and the leading business foundations of leadership. And I know we're all on a management development journey. I know I'm still learning, and I've worked with some great leaders and colleagues throughout my career, and we do learn a lot from them. And I've also had the benefit of some great teachers and learning and development opportunities, courses, etc. So I'm interested to know, see how your development journey has took root and has grown over the years. So my first question here really is, who were your earliest leadership influencers, and can you share something from those early influencers? You can go back as far as you like there, Dan. You can go back to your school days.
As far as being driven to work, I worked in my gap year at university for a company called Matsura Machinery, who are a Japanese machine tool company in Leicestershire. And although the company didn't do very well in the long run, I had a boss in the finance department who just worked, you know, his work ethic was unbelievable. And I think that's always rubbed off on me. You know, I want to show 100% commitment to what we do. I think he showed me that you kind of lead from the front, i.e. you do all the jobs that ever you'd ask anyone else to do. And, you know, I'd never ask anyone on the farm to do a job that I wouldn't be prepared to do myself. That's from the most glamorous to the least glamorous jobs. So I think that's really important. That taught me, you know, from an early age. And so I've always had that work ethic, and he had a real empathy for other people. You know, if you had a bad day, he'd be like, you know, go home early. And I think, you know, developing an empathy for people around you is really important. Everyone has stuff going on in their lives, whether they tell you or not. If someone's not very good to you in the morning, you think, well, maybe there's something going on at home. I'm not going to jump down their throats. And, you know, if it carries on and it's all the same all the time, then we talk to one another. So I think that degree of empathy has been important. And then I suppose through farming, I don't know if I have to name names, but there's been people out there who've shown me how to push things forward, how to challenge themselves, both financially and in what we can do organically. There's, you know, a number of organic farmers that I've met who are pushing the boundaries in what they're doing. I've learned about what we can grow here. People who are trying new things. My Nuffield journey was full of people who are like that. So I guess all the way along that journey, I've met people. But I guess the foundation would go back to that guy at Matsura, and just that work ethic and that ability to make sure that people realise that you're not just the boss sitting in an ivory tower, like calling the shots and not really caring what they think.
I think what's really interesting about what you just said there is that how much of leadership and management knowledge, skill, techniques, whatever you want to call them, how much of that is actually transferable. So we don't necessarily, I know there are unique and particular things around agriculture, but I think we necessarily have to just look at leadership and management in agriculture to improve our skills in that area. So I would say there are lots of other opportunities. One of the other things that I know about learning as well is that sometimes it's difficult. It's difficult to fit in if you're exceptionally busy on the farm. So I don't know if you've found, particularly using modern technology, whether or not you've undertaken any learning using kind of digital technology, whatever, which you found particularly helpful.
I listen to a lot of podcasts. So a lot of them are agricultural related, but a lot of those podcasts now are to do with people management. I mean, in the regenerative world, there's a lot talked about like that. So I think, you know, I can listen to those podcasts. I walk the dog, I go and move cows, I drive to the other farm, I listen to those things. So I think, and people like Tim Ferriss, you know, listening to, you know, leaders, what their secrets are, all that kind of stuff. I think that's the easiest way I do. I mean, I read books as well, but not, I try, you know, farming books, but also like I read Obama's biography, and just to hear how normal he is, even though he was president of the United States, and the emotions that he went through, and how he treated his staff, you know, as the president of the United States. And he would, you know, talk about, you know, putting an arm around the kind of junior staffers when they'd had a bad day. And it makes you think that however important you think you are, or how big your role is, you're just another human being. So yeah, I think for me, that is my ongoing learning. Yes, maybe the odd YouTube clip, maybe something that someone sends me, something really, really easy way of getting into it.
That's really good. Though I'm very, very grateful for you sharing your time with me today, and hopefully the listeners will enjoy listening to your particular, well, some of the elements of your leadership growth and leadership development and how you've grown the farm. So I'm very grateful. Thank you very much for your time, Dan.
Thanks, Neil.
I said it's a fascinating subject, didn't I? And if your interest has been sparked from what you've heard, you can find out more via the link in the show notes, or you can visit the AHDB website, ahdb.org.uk, and type in AgriLeader, and you can find out more about the courses on that page. If you want to get involved, you can also speak to AHDB's Mark Campbell or Isaac Van Heerden. And their contact details are on the AgriLeader page too. Thank you to our guest, Dan Burdett. And thanks to podcast producer, Miriam Druitt. If you have any comments on this or ideas for future podcasts, please get in touch via the website, ahdb.org.uk. Or you can email me, john.bates@ahdb.org.uk. Stay safe, stay well. I'm John Bates. Thanks for listening.